Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hi, everybody. This is Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill, my political podcast, the view from the middle of the road, and the view from here, as it is across the country, is basically looking at California, the most important election. I think it's true, even though it is hyped to be. It is the most important election since the presidential election of November 2020. The California recall. Will it be Governor Gavin Newsom hanging on by his fingernails in a recall election against my Fox News colleague Larry Elder, the hard right radio host who's turned into a politician? Who will prevail in California? Here in Cleveland, Ohio, it's a Rust Belt city that I think in many ways represents many, many Midwestern communities and elsewhere, where the mayor is being chosen today, or primary day at least. Here in Cleveland, there is no doubt but that law and order, public safety, is the number one, the number two, the number three issue on the minds of most Clevelanders. The question is, here as elsewhere, will we be able to overcome the inertia? Will we be able to get off our tails, get to the voting booth and vote? Have a voice in what your government does and says for you. Here's Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
I'm going to talk a lot about the mayor's race in Cleveland today. As the program goes on, some of the top candidates will be joining us. Dennis Kucinich will be joining us, the former congressman, former mayor of Cleveland. Kevin Kelly will be joining us, the president of the Cleveland City Council. We'll also hear from and about the other candidates, State Senator Sandra Williams, Justin Bibb, the golden man anointed by the Cleveland Plain Dealer, and former Mayor Mike White, who endorsed him. I think that he is continuing his boycott of our show, but at least we'll talk about him. Bashir Jones, we'll hear from him, former council member. Zach Reed. So the two top, there are seven main candidates. The two top vote getters will compete in the November 2nd general election. And there are also elections today in Cleveland Heights, which is choosing a mayor for the first time in the city's history, as I understand it. So I was going to recommend Travis Kelce. He's from Cleveland Heights.
Yeah, I don't know if you, being this week, I don't know if that would happen. Maybe if you give it a couple weeks after the loss, it may be a little cooled. But, yeah, we'll see what's going on. We actually do have Dennis Kucinich on the line right now, if you'd like to talk to him.
I'd love to begin right with a friend of mine. And, you know, I don't mean to take sides. It's just that it's the known over the unknown, in a sense. I've gotten to know Dennis over the months and years, and his program certainly resonates well. Safe city, peaceful city, prosperous city. Is that about sum it up, Congressman?
Certainly is. And good morning to you, Geraldo, on this beautiful Tuesday, election day in Cleveland. I voted
beautiful.
At 7:30.
I'm sorry, just 1 second. Rob, boost the audio, please. Go ahead, Mayor. All right, take it away. You were saying it's a beautiful day in Cleveland. Do you expect a big turnout?
It's absolutely. Well, I'm hopeful that that people will see this as an opportunity to go and vote. I'm always eager to promote people going in to vote. We have a city which has been struck by crime and poverty and COVID. And all of that has diminished public participation. But I think people of Cleveland can summon the our native courage here and get out and vote and and we can really reclaim this city. And
well, in 2017, just under 13% voted, a pretty lamentable, dismal turnout. Do you expect anything more today?
Oh, yeah, I think there'll be a better turnout. But the main thing is, you know, why would people vote? And I've been giving this message that people should vote to make this a safer city, not just to get more police on the streets, but to be able to track down the homicides. You know, right now we have 42% of the homicide cases are not closed, which means there are people out there who have committed murder who aren't being brought to justice. And, Geraldo, one of the things that's shocking is from the beginning of the year until the end of August, we've had 2,300 shootings in Cleveland. The level of violence is out of control. And as mayor, I'm determined to make this a safer city. And I think that I can do that. And, of course, you know, peace is something that we talk about. But I want to create a civic peace department that gets to the root of the violence and that enables us to really work at creating peaceful neighborhoods, precinct by precinct. Well, and I think that
mayor,
I think
wait,
we can do
second.
That.
What do you say to people like many of my wife's friends who believe that the real problem in Cleveland is not the bad guys as much as it's bad cops? What do you think about that thesis?
Look, if you have a mayor who's strong enough, the mayor is the chief conservator of the peace, Geraldo. It's the mayor's responsibility to bring the police department in line. And the present mayor didn't do that. And that's why we ended up with a Washington, D.C. having to step in with a consent decree. Now, we want our police to be racially sensitive, constitutionally aware, courteous, and responsive. And I think I can help bring that about. And I think that there are a number of police that have already lined up along those principles. But people have a right to expect that our city will be safe. And right now, it's not. And I intend to change that.
Do you worry that, and I hear this blowback against me sometimes, that by talking about problems that haunt the city looks bad and it exacerbates existing problems. People don't want to do business here or travel here. Do you worry that in realistically portraying our town, maybe Cleveland doesn't look so good?
You know, there's a reason why in America our national symbol is the eagle and not the ostrich, because we're used to soaring with our strength instead of hiding from our problems. And as mayor, I intend to address Cleveland's challenges directly, not hide from them, not paper over them with baloney public relations campaigns. We have the people who live in the city live with the reality where there are drive-by shootings, where people are not safe in many neighborhoods to walk the streets during the day, let alone at night. And I intend to change that. Now, you know, when you do that and you address the underlying reality, then people are going to say, oh, yeah, Cleveland, what a great place to live. That's what we want. And also, Geraldo, I might add, you know, we can reduce utility rates. I mean, I know about utilities. They save Muni Light, now Cleveland Public Power, years ago. We can cut residential rates by 10% because the money's there. There's a $30 million surplus in CPP. We can cut 10% because they're sitting on a $400 million surplus. And Geraldo, for 2 years running, the city's had an $80 million surplus and refused to replace the police that had retired.
Let me just get that very specifically. You called some weeks ago for 400 new community-based cops, and you said you were going to pay for them and some of their equipment with the surplus, which sounds like you're spending it a couple of times there. Is that still your plan? Is that still your promise that you will
100%? Absolutely. And here's how we pay for it. Yes, we will have money in a surplus right now. We do have money, and we'll use that. But that's not the only source of funds. You know, the federal dollars that are coming in can be used to make cities safer, and there's other programs that we can apply for. As someone who served 16 years in Washington, I expect to use my congressional background and contacts to be able to get more money for Cleveland. And in addition to that, Geraldo, the last time I was mayor, I was able to reduce city spending by 18% without reducing services, by eliminating waste, fraud, and abuse. And having looked at the city budget, I'm quite confident that we can find tens of millions of dollars out of a budget of a general fund budget of over $647 million that we can apply towards hiring police to make our neighborhoods safer. So the money's always there. It's just that City Hall's had other priorities. They've hoarded money. They've squandered it. I know how to run a tight ship, and I'll make sure that we make our neighborhoods safer and we start to prosper as a city, and that people will look to Cleveland as a city that is on the move again, and that is a much safer city, and one that people will feel comfortable coming to, not just visit, but to live in.
Okay, the boy mayor of Cleveland, you have heard him. I tell you what, give me 15 seconds more, if you don't mind, Mr. Mayor, on why Dennis Kucinich should be mayor of Cleveland.
Because I have the experience, the knowledge, the integrity. People trust me. I can make this city safe, peaceful, and prosperous again, and I'm ready to do it from day one.
Friend of mine, Dennis Kucinich, very glad of you to join us on this big day. Come on, Cleveland, turn out. Make that part of the mayor's pitch there come true. Let's have a turnout that easily exceeds the last time out. So, Dennis Kucinich, thank you very much.
Thanks, Geraldo. Bye now.
Okay, good luck. Okay, Rob, so next up, Kevin Kelly, is he aboard yet?
Yes, actually, he's just calling in right now. Let's get him hooked up. Yeah, we'll go to him right now. I know these guys are going pretty busy today.
All right. So this is the president of the Cleveland City Council. The only surveys I've seen, the only polling I've seen, Cleveland does not have lavish polling. There's been some that showed Dennis Kucinich with a narrow lead over our next guest, Kevin Kelly, who is the president of the Cleveland City Council. He has joined us previously on Geraldo in Cleveland, and we welcome him back. Mr. President, how are you doing? Kevin Kelly?
Good, Geraldo. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
So how's it feeling to you? Does it feel to you on the ground as close as it appears when we look at the available polls?
Yes, it's really going to be a matter of, you know, who actually shows up. And it's always hard to like get a sense of a low voter turnout election with a lot of undecided voters. But yeah, I feel pretty good, but I believe it's going to be close.
So one thing in this era of identity politics, and Cleveland being a minority majority city, a predominantly African American city in terms of the math, do you find it a bit unnerving to have two white guys as the leading candidates?
No, I think that democracy gives you the government that you should have. And I think that if that's what people choose, that would be the result that the voters have chosen. And I'll also say that I do have, fairly broad support amongst a number of African-American influencers and people in the community. So I'm not running, just as a West Side candidate. I'm running to represent all of Cleveland and represent every neighborhood in the city of Cleveland. And I've really worked hard to make that part of my campaign, is that, I'm running to be the mayor of all of Cleveland, and every neighborhood will count.
Well said. Kevin Kelly, my guest, the president of the Cleveland City Council. As of the polls right now, he is in second place, but that's an old poll. We don't really know exactly what the situation is on the ground right now, but I'd like to read something that Council President Kelly has published. Anyone who thinks Cleveland is going to give up just doesn't understand Cleveland. We have proven that we can survive anything, but just surviving is not good enough. Together, we will forge a new path forward so that every person, every family, every neighborhood in Cleveland can thrive. Is that realistic, Kevin?
Yes, it is. If we all believe it. I mean, we have to stop being comfortable with the status quo, with the way things are. We need to make sure that we are really focused on what does it take for a municipality to thrive? We got to start with our safety situation. Right now, violent crime, if we don't get this right, nothing else matters. We need to make sure we are providing excellent city services. But I do think, I'm absolutely positive that right now, every Clevelander who wants to work and wants an opportunity, I do believe there's an opportunity out there. We need to make those matches. We need to make sure that our prosperity isn't just for a few, because right now, you know, we're at a time, Geraldo, where industry needs people as much as people need opportunity. If you look at the labor shortage,
I see help wanted signs everywhere.
Everywhere. That's why right now we have to figure out, why is it that we are not making this match? Why are we not taking these unemployed, underemployed people and making them job ready for these high paying careers that are available to people?
I don't mean to interrupt you there, Kevin, but sure, I know for the record that both you and Dennis, Kucinich, have cited public safety, law and order as the number one issue. Is that correct?
Yes, that is the number one issue, both to me and also to every neighborhood that we've done polling and surveys, and from our door knocking, every neighborhood in the city of Cleveland, public safety is, crime and safety are the most important issues. And the number, it's number one, two, three, and four, and then I forget which five, because it means so much to people. If we can't make sure people are feel safe in their homes, in on their streets, in their communities, then nothing else is really going to matter.
I absolutely agree. I just, tangentially, I've just heard, you know, I'm a patient at Cleveland Clinic. There's a new visitation policy there because of a COVID outbreak, you know, the Delta variant scaring a lot of people. How does Kevin Kelly, president of the Cleveland City Council, candidate for mayor in the election today, how do you feel about vaccine mandates?
So I think that, you know, the Cleveland Clinic is a private employer, and, you know, they can have the policies that they want. I think it's hard to, you know, enforce. I know that people are seeking clarification, but I think the biggest tragedy right now is that this has become a political issue instead of a public health issue. And it's not just a public health issue, it's an economic issue to me as well. We have to get a hold of this thing if we are, you know, truly to recover. We cannot have another shutdown. We cannot have this Delta variant getting out of hand. We really have to look at, you know, treating this as, you know, public health is job one, because if we don't treat this as a public health issue and it becomes a public health crisis, it is very quickly going to become another economic crisis, when we are in a position right now where, you know, we're kind of clawing out of the last shutdown. But what we're seeing is very unusual, where the restaurants that, you know, had to close and are trying to open up now can't find people. There's labor shortages, but at the same time, there are lines at the Cleveland Food Bank. Something's not right. We have to make sure that we deal with the public health so we can really get our economy back on its feet.
I think a mayor that inspires people to pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, take advantage of whatever the available programs are, and get to work, I think that would go a long way towards solving problem number one about public safety also. I just want to be clear. Are you suggesting that there's not a mandate, or will not be in a Kelly administration, a mandate on all city workers?
Right now there is not. And unless this, if the Delta variant were to really become an issue, then we would have to look at that again. But right now there is not, and it's not something that I have. I'm hopeful that we as a community can get a hold of this and turn the corner, and it doesn't get to that point. I hope that we can turn the corner with this so that we don't have to have these conversations anymore, and we can start focusing on what you mentioned before in terms of, you know, people getting jobs and what happens when we really prepare people for jobs. Then our public safety outcomes improve. Then our public health outcomes are improved. Then
how about our public schools?
Picture.
How about our public schools?
Public, what about them?
How are they doing, and how will they fare through the rocky end of this epidemic?
Sure. To me, that is the most important consideration. I'm a CMSD dad, and I have seen how my daughter and her peers have been affected by this. And it is really unfortunate that the schools weren't in a position to lose a year. And when COVID hit, indeed, we were in a situation where we sent our kids home to learn, but I watch real closely the Zoom type of instruction. It's not the same as in-person instruction.
It's definitely not the same.
Definitely.
No, I mean, I really feel that, you know, we were on my daughter all, you know, as you know, parents are, but I know that there was a lot of USMSD scholars that weren't signing on for their classes. If you look at where people returned, we have to just make an honest assessment of what we lost during this time, and we need to put in place those resources to get those kids back up where they were, because, you know, the system wasn't, you know, we weren't doing great when this happened, and then COVID happened, and it really put a strain on an already, you know, struggling education system. So this is really the time. We just have to make this mission critical to just have an honest assessment. Where are our kids now? What did we lose when we sent them home for that year and expected them to be on Zoom? And by the way, we knew that 18,000 of them didn't have a device or broadband access.
Did not even have a computer.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. So that's the issue we need to face. And that's something that, you know, again, as I talked about earlier, if we're going to get our citizens educated, trained, and skilled for the high paying jobs that are begging for people, we can't lose a year of K-12. We have to make sure we get this right.
Kevin Kelly, good luck to you. You've always been a gracious man, and you seem very competent, and I wish you the best.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on the show for a few minutes, and I wish you and everybody all the best, and I certainly humbly ask for their support.
Okay, brother.
Thank you.
Cleveland City Council, Kevin Kelly, the guest there. Right now we have the guru of Cleveland politics, Northeast Ohio, or Ohio politics, period. 37 years covering it at WKYC. Tom Behrens is retired senior political correspondent at the channel, and we welcome him on board. Hey, Tom.
Hi, good morning, Geraldo. How you doing?
So what are you thinking, first of all, in terms of turnout compared to 2017, when it was a woeful just under 13% of the eligible voters? Of the 385,000 or so people in Cleveland, how many voters will there be?
Well, I the early indications seem to indicate that, we've been brainwashing ourselves for the last couple of months. It'll be a miserable, woeful, embarrassing, pathetic lame turnout, and it may well turn out to be that. But, I mean, the early indications of early voting seem to be running ahead of years past. And I do think there seems to be an energy, at least watching from the sideline, there seems to be a really great energy in the campaigns. They all seem to be working hard and going to every neighborhood function. Obviously, COVID has kind of crippled the ability to have as much campaign interactivity. And I think maybe the good weather today will encourage and maybe make some people who were hesitant or reticent or didn't think it was worth the trouble and maybe get up and go out. So I'm going to be a glass half full person here and think that maybe we'll exceed the predictions, fingers crossed.
I would like to see a big civic investment of a couple of not even a couple of hours, an hour or so, to just stake your claim in Cleveland's future by voting today and then again in November. Tom Behrens is our guest.
That would be nice if there could be some sort of a promotional public service campaign in that regard. I mean, it's obviously, if people don't go to vote, it means they obviously don't think it's worth the modest amount of time it takes, that whoever's sitting up on the second floor of Cleveland City Hall, whoever's up there, doesn't make that much difference to my quality of life or my ability to feed my family or
Well, you and I do not believe that. So are you surprised by Justin Bibb getting the endorsement from the Cleveland Plain Dealer? And what is it about Bibb? Why, if it's true, is he one of the favorite candidates?
Well, obviously, he's young and dynamic and well-spoken and energetic. And I kind of think of him as sort of the Elizabeth Warren of candidates. If you remember, I got a plan for that. I got a plan for that. I got a plan for that. I mean, he's got a a wealth of ideas and energy, seems to have connected with some of Cleveland's younger and up-and-coming residents in the West Side neighborhoods of Tremont, Ohio City, and downtown residents. Has Councilman Kerry McCormick, a well-thought of up-and-coming Cleveland political figure, backing him. And Mayor Mike White, I mean, again, we're going back to the good Mike White days. People forget that there was the good Mike White and the not-so-good Mike White, and people remembering Mike the first-term Mike White. But, you know, the comparisons there aren't completely relevant because Mike White had been in public office, council, and state legislature for some time. Again, his campaign slogan, Cleveland Can't Wait. And if you want bold, dynamic, outside-the-box, energetic ideas with the X factor of, yeah, but this guy's never really run anything, then Bibb is your candidate. If you think that the status quo needs to shake up and Cleveland's gotten kind of stagnant and inefficient, then he would be your preferred candidate.
So how do you figure the two white guys are leading the race, at least so far, Kelly and Kucinich?
Well, I mean, I think it's a multiplicity of, what would it be, four African-American candidates who sort of are, I would say, equal in stature, but not that different in stature. All have, except for Mr. Bibb, have had some public service and do have a public persona on the radar. And so they sort of, I want to say, negate, cancel. To me, it kind of goes back to the election where Mike White did get elected, where there were a lot of white candidates, Tim Hagan and Ralph Perk and Benny Bonanno, who basically, it was a circular firing squad, canceled each other out and left the two African-American candidates, Mike White and George Forbes, left. And Mike White won because he wasn't George Forbes.
So you think his endorsement carries some weight when it comes to Justin Bibb?
Well, remember how long he was in office. Again, I've been trying to calculate, but 20-plus years ago, he would say something about the energy level and the current leadership factor among today's Cleveland political figures when you're counting on a guy who hasn't been in office and has spent the last 20 or so years raising alpacas and being that little old winemaker Mike. I think it does encourage some excitement. It will do some good. I don't know if it's difference making.
Okay. Well, are you endorsing anyone?
I don't live in Cleveland, so I'm just watching from the cheap seats of a retired, largely retired reporter. I am not endorsing anyone.
Do you, Well, I would like you to comment on the fact that of all the candidates, and we'll hear from some of the others we have not yet heard from this morning shortly, but all of the ones we've spoken to over the weeks and months leading up to today all cite public safety, law and order as the premier issue, or at least among them. The worst public safety gets is, it's in the mix. But generally speaking, most people definitively believe public safety is the most important issue in Cleveland.
I think the three most important issues are public safety, public safety, and public safety in the minds of the general public. And, you know, what is the local government's most important role to protect and maintain the safety of its residents and community? So, that's not surprising. Right. That's not surprising at all. But to me, it is sort of surprising that I think virtually all the candidates, I think, except for Mr. DiBello, have grasped this as the number one issue. But none of them seem to have really broken through or, at least in my mind, convinced the general public that they have a fail-safe guaranteed. Well, again, because there's so many issues involved here, poverty, education or lack of it, multiple factors that contribute to it. It's hard to come up with a finger snap solution to it. Yes, hire more police, but by and large, police are dealing with the aftermath, not the causes of crime. But again, it doesn't seem to me that there's really been a breakout candidate on this issue, though they are in agreement on what the issue is.
Do you have a prediction, Tom Barris?
I would say throw four names in a hat and pick two out: Kucinich, Kelly, Bibb, and Reed.
I think that sounds doable. I would bet that line. I think you've got it there, Tom, as you usually do. And I appreciate your expertise. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, I appreciate it. And hey, everybody, get out and vote.
Get out and vote, indeed. Today, a big day in Cleveland. Cleveland Heights, East Cleveland, Garfield Heights. Today is election day, primary day, big day. Help determine in a major way who the next mayor of the big city of Cleveland will be in these other satellite cities. We've heard from Kucinich so far, from Kelly so far. Zach Reed joins us, former city councilman right now, friend to the program. Zach, welcome.
Hey, brother, you know
Reed, welcome. How you doing? How you feeling on this big election day?
You know we're going to get used to this, right? Because you and I have been talking a lot. So when I'm there, I want you to continue to bring me. Continue to bring me on. Now.
I'll give you a regular spot, I promise.
All right, don't forget about me. Brother.
I won't. I'm writing it down now. We're writing it down. How you feeling today?
I'm feeling good. The weather's good out here. The numbers are starting to pick up throughout the city. You know, things are looking good. You know, I'm touring the west side of the city of Cleveland. I'm getting a lot of thumbs up and people going in saying that if I can do very well on the west side, and I know that we're going to do very well on the east side, you may be talking to the person that's making it to the next level tomorrow morning.
Well, good luck. Good luck to you. Well, you won't know by tomorrow morning, will you?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Oh, yeah, you'll know about tomorrow. You'll know about tomorrow night. You'll know about tonight. Yeah, what will happen about a little after 7:30, they will give out the absentee ballot results. And then from there, they'll start to come through. I mean, one thing about the efficiency of our Board of Elections, they know how to count ballots and they know how to count them very well.
So unlike California, you don't suspect or worry about fraud?
No, because unlike other states, we are allowed, they've already counted the absentee ballots. So unlike other states like Pennsylvania and Michigan, where you can't count early, we can count early. So right now, as you and I are speaking, they already know the results of, well, I shouldn't say they don't know all the results because people are able to vote early at the Board of Elections until 2 o'clock. But by 7:30, a little after 7:30, they're going to unload the absentee ballot. The 1,300 people who've already voted, you will know the results of that before 8 o'clock.
So
now, then you would have to wait.
I got you. In terms of your campaign, what issue resonated, Zach?
Two things. One, public safety. People know that throughout my political career, the one thing that I've focused on is you can't have economic development, you can't have public health, you can't have really anything if people don't feel safe. So that's first. And then secondly, was the transparency that I've said to people that we're going to open up City Hall every Saturday to anyone who has an appointment or does not have an appointment. It's like you, Orlando. I mean, you and I have seen each other in public. You've never been standoffish and said, I don't want to talk to you. People want that. People want to know that they can talk to you and you can talk to them. They want to be able to have a good relationship and a partnership with people who they think can make a difference. I mean, you might look at yourself as just a radio host, but at the end of the day, you sway power. So if you say something on the airwaves of WTAM, which is one of the most powerful FM or AM radio stations in the nation, you know, that means something. So when the mayor of the city of Cleveland is saying something, people listen. So
I agree. It has disproportionate authority, influence. It definitely does. I I don't know with seven candidates how clear it is to the people of Cleveland how the messages differ. For example, Zach Reed, my guest right now, candidate for mayor, of course, former city council member, a friend to the program, delighted to have him back. You mentioned public safety as your prime issue. So does everybody else. So what's the difference, Zach, between your position in law and order and everyone else's?
Oh, my, because people know that I'm not just talking about it. First of all, I got a plan. And second of all, they know that this plan that I've been talking about is not a plan I just thought of 6 months ago when I decided to run for mayor of the city of Cleveland. They know the plan I have in place. They know what I did in Mount Pleasant to make it a safer community. They know it. That's the reason that I am the only one that has put their plan on their website and been able to debate my plan over the last months, because I'm confident in my plan. I've said to people that when I'm elected mayor of the city of Cleveland, I will guarantee you, I'm doing the Joe Namath, okay, in 1969. I'm guaranteed.
He's guaranteeing the Super Bowl win. All right.
I'll guarantee you that when I'm mayor and I implement my safety
just
plan,
don't
my
forget
six-point
your friends.
Safety plan, you will see a dramatic reduction of violence in the city of Cleveland.
I want dramatic an invitation reduction for the inauguration if you win, Zach.
All right. Well, you got it, brother. You got it.
All right. I appreciate you coming on. I'm out of time now, but good luck today.
All right. Thanks, brother. Talk to you soon.
Okay, brother. Erica, you're walking with your friends around Shaker Square. You're talking about the Cleveland election. The friends all happen to be African-American, and they did not like Dennis Kucinich, you reported to me. Why not? What was the beef?
Most people I know do not like Dennis Kucinich because he was mayor of Cleveland, and he did not do a great job, and he had his moment, and he is known as one of the worst mayors ever in our country, really, to be frank. So I think it's time for someone new to come along with a fresh take on how to help Cleveland.
I disagree with your characterization of Dennis. I think that I thought that he was regarded, I mean, you know a lot better than I, you grew up here. I thought Dennis was regarded as the feisty boy mayor who went against the vested interests, particularly with the public utilities, took on the man, and then struggled mightily for the people in the halls of Congress. That's when I met him, and I always appreciate it. I'm not endorsing him. Are you endorsing someone?
Well, I like Justin Bibb. I think he's a proud son of Cleveland. His father was an impressive firefighter and police officer, and he's studied political science at American University, has a business and law degree at Case Western. He's
totally inexperienced.
He's very intelligent. No, he worked for President Obama. He has experience. He is a visionary leader. He co-founded Hack Cleveland in 2014 and launched Cleveland Can't Wait, nonprofits focused on advancing racial equality and economic opportunity in underserved neighborhoods across the city. He works with mayors, business leaders, and community organizations across the country as the chief strategy officer at Urbanova, a startup that leads new initiatives to make cities safer, healthier, and more resilient.
Okay.
He does a lot of things. Okay. So.
I get it. I am not endorsing anybody, but Zach Reed would be a trip. I would enjoy Zach Reed in City Hall. Kevin Kelly has impressed me in our dealings. Do you like him too? And of course, Dennis Kucinich. And didn't Dennis Kucinich's daughter go to work for Fox or one of the networks, as I recall? Michael Polensic is the councilman from the Collinwood area. Isn't that right, Michael?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for calling. A surprise call. So what's on your mind on this election day?
I just wanted to thank you for having these mayoral candidates on and taking the time to listen to them and let them give their pitch, because this election is critical. This is the most important election.
Tell us why.
As the senior member of City Council, this is the most important election that I've experienced in 20 years because of the issues, the possibilities, the potential in this city. And we just have to have a new mayor who's going to reset the table and reset the priorities here. I don't have a dog in this race.
So you don't have a proposal? You don't have an endorsement?
No. I have not endorsed anyone in a mayor's race, but it's important because I'm out checking on the polls, and the turnout is light. And I can't stress enough to our citizens, especially those who call me every day or email me with concerns and issues. You know, you get the government you deserve. And if the residents in the city of Cleveland don't turn out, and let's face it, the election for Congress, there was an extremely low turnout in the city of Cleveland. Even in the presidential election, which we thought there would be a record turnout, wasn't anywhere what we thought it would be. So again, I can't stress enough to our citizenry, these elections count. Your vote counts. And again, so that's why I wanted to call to say...
Well, I appreciate it. Michael Palencic from the City Council, the Collinwood District, urging all Clevelanders, this is it. This is it. You get the government that you deserve. Michael, thank you. Delighted. Delighted to talk to you.
Thank you, Paulo. Thank you.
All right.
Again, sorry for the candidates we did not have time to get to today, in this big election day in Cleveland, Ohio. One more note about the election in California. Gavin Newsom, of course, the governor, was at one time the mayor of San Francisco. His wife, when he was mayor of San Francisco, was my dear friend and colleague, former colleague, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Remember Kimberly Guilfoyle, who's now with Don Trump Jr.? So Kimberly, who was with Gavin Newsom, was married to Gavin Newsom, now with Donald Trump Jr. She went from one side of the political spectrum to the other in terms of her private life. But we wish them all well, Gavin Newsom and Larry Elder. You know, Larry Elder does those Relief Factor commercials. You ever see them on television? No prescription needed to relieve you of pain. Larry walks down the beach. So if Larry wins, then maybe Gavin Newsom can be the new Relief Factor guy. Anyway, I'm Geraldo Rivera reporting Roadkill.
Roadkill with Geraldo Rivera.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.